Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. It's weekend is over now. Did everybody have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Gavin, you sound very excited. Oh. You're working towards something.
Yeah, I did a lot of packing and moving stuff this
Woo-hoo!
Whole last week, and cleaning. So I did the sweeping, vacuuming, mopping, and then I moved our entire kitchen to our new rental house. And then this afternoon, yeah, we're moving in.
That's fun, though.
And then our official move out date is tomorrow, so I guess we'll maybe go back and clean the apartment tomorrow.
That's not fun. Yeah. Cleaning the place you're leaving is not fun.
But at least we're leaving a one bedroom, one bathroom apartment.
Yeah.
That should go quick. Ish.
Yeah, that shouldn't take long at all. Yeah, I had turned, because I moved every 3 years for a while. Like, I turned moving into an art, man. I had it down. My wife and I, we could knock out a move and have a life pretty remotely normal. I got my kitchen back because we were having everything painted in our house. And it's amazing how much stuff was in all of our cabinets and all of our drawers, because everything had to come out and it was just everywhere in the house. And so I told my wife, I said, hey, I'll be at work, you know, when they finish. And so if you start putting all this stuff away, maybe like thin it down a little bit,
ooh,
you know, and she looks at
me
and she goes,
that's a tough question to ask your wife.
I already thinned it down last week. I'm like, what?
Way to go.
What in the what? Like, I mean, ooh. 40 chip clips. That's thinning it down. We could cut that down a little more, you know?
Wow.
It was.
Who do you think is really the problem?
In our house? Mm-hmm. Her, absolutely.
Because if I the reason I ask this is because in our office,
yes,
I would say your side of the office,
yeah,
is very jam-packed.
It is.
I have more sentimental things like people have given me, and then I've got a bunch of like work stuff, like tons of CDs and things like that. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff that matters. It's important.
So you're saying her stuff doesn't matter?
Didn't say that. Sounded
that's
like
what
I said that.
Marty, you heard it here.
But she'll quickly fire back like, well, your garage is a mess. You could thin down your garage.
Could you?
Because that's my... No, probably not. It's pretty much everything
there
has a purpose.
Don't ask me to do that.
Yeah, no. And I could use it someday, so I got to keep it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, well, I guess we're
talking
someday
about hoarding in the last hour of the show.
Right?
Yeah, we each have our own hypocrisies, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what'd you do, Rock?
I went over to see my mom and dad on Saturday for Father's Day. Went to go meet up with a friend on Friday. That was fun. And then Sunday met up with another friend, and
so popular.
It was a good weekend.
Yeah, it's nice to throw all your friends in our face. That's gotta be fun. I got friends.
Oh, I'm sorry, because y'all have significant others. Heaven forbid.
I'd rather have a friend. Have I told you that my wife hoards stuff? My friends, how's I could leave? We actually had friends come into town. Like, we'd had all this painting.
Oh, so now you have a significant other and friends.
Yeah, I'm better
Jeez.
Than you. I'm totally better than you. But they came into town. They had two kids, though. And their kids are super cute, but it's been a long time since I've been around like a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old for any length of time. And I'd forgotten because we knew them in California and they were really young. They're a lot they're younger than us. They're like 42. So they're 10 years younger than me. And Jeremy, the husband, used to work with me in California. Mm-hmm. And so when we had Haley, his now wife, Hillary, used to babysit her.
Oh.
And so that's how we met them. And so it was funny because our roles have reversed. Like, we always had her. They could always go and do whatever, you know, and they'd be like, oh, do you want to go do this? Well, you got to give us an hour. We'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
And now the roles are reversed, and they're here with the two kids, and Marty and I could just go at a moment's notice, and I'm like having to give them lead time. Like, okay, do you need like 20 minutes before we can get out of here or something, you know? But it was just, their kids are amazing, and they're good kids, and they're sweet, and listening to a 4-year-old pray is one of the sweetest things in the entire world. But it's like, I'd forgotten that life in that world because I've had an adult child for so long, you know, and an empty nest for so long. It was fun. But I was tired. man. At the end, I played a lot of Nintendo and things like that, but I was tired. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. It was a good weekend though. Good Father's Day.
Well, it should be. It was Father's Day. Yeah. It's a holiday to celebrate you.
You know what I did?
You have a loving wife.
I do.
And you have friends.
I do. You know what I did? I mowed the lawn. Yeah.
What a dad's supposed to do,
I know.
Right?
We went to Red Lobster. My wife does not like Red Lobster. And so I was like,
do you?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I'm like, man, I'd really like to go to Red Lobster. So she's like, hey, it's Father's Day. You can pick whatever you want. And so she'll find something that she can eat there. Because we used to always like the popcorn shrimp. So we go. And they've changed their menu and stuff. Red Lobster has all of a sudden forgotten that they are Red Lobster.
What do you mean?
It's expensive now.
Ew.
Yeah. Like, we used to go there, and it would be, like, $7.99 for, like, popcorn shrimp. And you'd get a side and a salad and the Cheddar Bay biscuits. So now, they don't have a single option anymore of, like, just the shrimp. You have to get a double thing. You have to get shrimp and clams or shrimp and salmon or whatever it is. You have to get two things. And you get two sides. It's a lot of food, but it's $20 now.
Ooh.
So there was 20 for her, 20 for me, and we took my daughter. And so then hers was 15. I'm like, I walked out of there after tip. It's $70. I'm like, this is Red Lobster. This is where you used to go when you couldn't afford to go anywhere to eat. What in the world? Like, and it was my Father's Day, and my wife had warned me. She's like, I think it's more expensive than when we used to go. I'm pretty sure I remember that. I'm like, how bad can it be? It can't be that bad. And sure enough, she was right. That made my Father's Day horrible. Is that she was right and
sorry.
I was wrong. I hated spending the money less than her being right. Like, that was worse for me. But they did really well. They hooked me up with the Father's Day gifts that I was very appreciative of. Yeah, and this one like camo windbreaker jacket, a blue and black camo that I've been looking at.
Oh.
I've picked it up every time at Target and I put it down going, I can't. And so she got me that. And
to
then,
plant the seeds. You do that to plant
yeah.
the seeds,
yeah.
right?
You're just like kind of looking. She's looking. Oh, no, I'm going to put it back on.
Yeah, I'm wearing the pants that were gotten that way too. So
nice.
And then a retractable air hose for my garage, which was nice. So like they hooked me up. That was really
great. Yeah, they did
great
really
day.
Great.
It was great day.
And the whole time you were complaining.
Great day.
They don't do well.
No, they did. They were really
oh
good this year.
Gosh.
I was proud. And all right, so let's get into some of this stuff. You know, it looks like the Olympics is actually going to happen this year in Tokyo. There's some speculation that it would not because they've had COVID and I guess trying to get it under control. But when we get to the numbers, it might kind of surprise you. So they've decided to go with 50% crowd capacity, which means under 10,000 spectators per event.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's like, wow, that is not a lot. And that decision even contradicts their country's top medical advisor who recommended that the Olympics would be held without fans. And they're like, no, we got too much money. We still got to make. Because they've actually sold, I think it was, oh, man, what is it? Over somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.something million tickets. And so now they're going to limit it to just 10,000 fans. So I don't know if they're going to lottery.
They got to let those people know.
Yeah. Or will you get a refund or you're just going to have to eat it? I don't know. But they banned fans from abroad. So, like, it's kind of a bummer. Like, you can't just go to Tokyo to see the Olympics. And I don't even know if family counts. Like, say you have a kid that's performing in the Olympics or competing in the Olympics, then you might not even be able to go see them, which is kind of a bummer. You spent all that time and money investing in your kid, and you want to see the result of that and them mm-hmm. accomplish their dreams or at least get there is mm-hmm. great. And so that's not going to happen. But it seems really weird. Like, officials say the fans are under very strict rules. They're allowed to go there, but they are not allowed to cheer. They must wear masks, and they must go straight home after. Yeah, but, and like here, you couldn't ever regulate any of that.
No.
In Japan, in China, places like that, you kind of can. You know, but like we don't function like that here.
But Americans will be there competing, correct?
Correct, yes.
So they will have to follow the guidelines, I suppose.
Yes, somewhat, yes. But I don't know that we will.
For America.
Well, it seems like Japan has very different tolerances for COVID than the U.S. That we've had 500,000 deaths, allegedly. I say allegedly, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but we marked early on in this someone had a heart attack, but they had also had COVID, but it wasn't causation, and mm-hmm. we marked everything as COVID. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big debate over that as well, but that's not what I want to get into. But it's crazy because Tokyo, their average of new infections is only 400 a day, and their death rate was 14,000. Like, so, I mean, that's like, that was a light snack of a day for us before.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I mean, we had thousands in a day before. And so it's interesting that they have shut it down so intently. And they only have about 6.5% of their population vaccinated. So two very different approaches
right,
to this thing.
But then that kind of makes sense. If they don't have near as many vaccinated and they've worked so hard to get the numbers down,
right.
then, yeah, you want to make sure everyone
to stay that course.
Stays, yeah, your regulations.
I had an interesting conversation with my wife over the weekend, and she's like, I'm thinking about getting the vaccine now. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm fine. I don't, it's mm-hmm. whatever you want to do. But she was like, because we have some travel coming up that we want to do. And she's like, I've been doing some research and kind of praying through it and searching my own soul and why am I not doing this and what do I fear and is it a valid fear and things like that. And so she's kind of been going back and forth, and then our daughter got it, and I think there was part of her at one time where she was like, I want to experience whatever Haley experiences. So if something goes wrong, she's like, I want to at least know what's going wrong for me too. It's a weird mom thing.
That is.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that. She wouldn't want her daughter to face something bad, you know, that she chose, you know, that she wouldn't be able to face with her kind of thing. It's a weird solidarity thing.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I wonder if she'd do the same if it were you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
You're on your own.
Yeah, I'm like, you two have fun with that.
That was your choice.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's wow. Yeah, it's interesting. So she hit me with that. And then she's like, but, you know, because I would worry about her getting it. But then she's like, and then if I'm vaccinated, then I'm going to worry about you getting it. Stuff. I'm like, I know, I get it. But I've been a year and whatever and changing this and haven't gotten it. And I, you know, mm-hmm. but the thing is, I do find myself being more lax about it than I was in the past, too. Like, there's more times I forgot my mask, you know, and we're for a while.
Yeah.
You know, had to.
And I'm kind of shocked at how easy it was for me to forget the mask.
Oh, I know. You especially.
I thought it would be kind of like my phone for a while there, but no, I'm kind of
You were so, like, not. I don't want to use the term militant. I'm not sure what the right word is, but you were very cautious.
You were very careful.
Yeah, and you were like, I want to stay at home and work, and we were like, all right, whatever, that's fine. Like, but I'm like, the whole time I'm like, all right, I'm just coming to work, and I don't care. But we had very different approaches to it, and so to see you shift to this place where and it all stemmed when your parents got the vaccine. After that, you were like, I'm good with everything.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah,
yeah. But if I think the same would be said for you, like if you lived with if your wife or your daughter were, let's say they had some kind of health condition that made them more
well, my mom was living with me at the time, so
that's true too, but she didn't even care.
No, she was pretty bold. Like she was, I did ask her, like, I'm like, hey, does this have a, you know, I'm still going to work. You're going to come live with us, but I'm like, you know, I'm trying to do all the rules and everything, but I'm still, I have to go to work, you know? And
I think making those decisions at the beginning wasn't a cowardly thing.
No,
to
I don't.
Do.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you were so militant about it and so directive about it that now to see you on the other side where it's like, oh yeah, I forgot my mask, or oh yeah, I was at this thing and I went in without anything, like it's two very different people from how it was in the beginning to how you are now. And
because
I know
of
how
the
you
vaccine.
Right, and I know how you are about health issues.
Yeah.
And so that's why it was surprising to see where you kind of landed on it, you know, kind of thing. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it was interesting.
But because of the vaccine.
But
like,
your parents,
I think,
getting the vaccine.
Yeah,
though.
I think if my parents hadn't gotten the vaccine, I don't really know where I'd be.
You probably would still be more locked down, I would think.
I don't think so.
It was
driving me crazy staying at home.
Well,
but
yeah.
It drives me crazy being here too.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I get your parents because you had a friend that it went really south for them and one of their children got them.
Death.
So, yeah. I mean, like that logically makes so much sense because you wouldn't want to live with that guilt if you had gotten
right.
them sick. I totally get that.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. I just get it. We're just very different, you know, in the approach. And now you're just like, hey, yeah, whatever. Like, it's very different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like you're making fun of it.
No, I'm not. Not at all. No, I'm just saying in this thing with COVID, everybody, you have to give people the space to process it and deal with it how they need to. That's like when you wanted to work from home. None of us said anything about it because that was what you needed to do. And it was like, okay, fine, good.
Yeah.
And then now that you are more lax about it, like it's not like, she's more lax. She need, what happened? That's hypocritical. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that inside of this, people's viewpoints, tolerances, information, all this stuff changes, and it changes how you relate to it, you know? And like, I'm way less cautious than I was before about it. And now I'm like bummed because I'm like, now's when I'll get it. Like out of nowhere, now I'll get it. Survive for a whole year doing everything. And then the one time I go and drink after somebody accidentally, and I get it, you know, when someone left a Coke there and I don't want to see a Coke go to waste.
Well, and also too, all this to say with you saying you're more relaxed, you didn't freak out, you
right.
didn't wash your hands. I forgot my mask, all this stuff.
Right.
You were also the one that was coughing, gagging, and sneezing all over us and then got
right.
us sick.
Right. Oh, that wasn't COVID, though. That was
no,
just normal.
But,
that's just like his
I'm
life.
Just saying.
That was normal. Yeah.
Sometimes it can come across as like, oh, I'm better because I'm not washing my hands. I didn't
freak out
or anything like that.
No,
yet,
not what
I'm
saying.
I think there is some responsibility in taking care of your health and making sure you don't infect those around you.
Sure. No, that wasn't my point at all.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. But you get what I'm saying.
No,
there is a responsibility.
I do. And I'm glad we're talking it out here so I don't have to do it in the office afterwards. So thank you.
But it is true, right?
Because I can see this being a conversation I have to
have
later.
There is a responsibility, though.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I get that.
Okay.
Did you guys see the stuff with the NFL? Gavin, you probably saw this in the COVID restrictions in the NFL.
I don't know this by heart, but I've definitely seen news about
it's a big deal. Like, so
oh, yeah.
The NFL is, there's one player that's like, I might quit because.
Cole Beasley.
Yeah, he's like, I might quit because the length they're going to, if you're not vaccinated, to ostracize you and isolate and segregate you, he's like, it's not worth it. Because basically what the NFL, the rules, without, you know, going point by point, it was basically, if you've been vaccinated, you can do whatever you want, you can be wherever you want, it doesn't matter. If you haven't been vaccinated, they are keeping you on this crazy tight list in all of these areas and stuff like that. But then they put you out on the field with no mask, running around, breathing heavy on people. Like,
you make them money.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it makes no sense. Like, if you had said, hey, and I don't believe this is right either, saying, okay, well, we're not going to let non-vaccinated players play for the good of the entire NFL season, fine. You're a private company. You can make that choice. I don't agree with that. But to sit there and say, well, we're going to have you go through all of these hoops to jump through, but then you can go do this and it's fine. Like, it's kind of, it was like after 9/11, they used to search our bags at work when I worked at Disney. And one employee would like, one guard would like go, it's fine, and wouldn't look at it. I'm like, no, if we're going to go through this, then do the job and look through it. Like, that's the whole point of why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same thing with this COVID thing. It's like, if you're going to do all this stuff, but then you're going to set all the rules aside just so we can go play and make you money, mm-hmm. when it's time to play the game, that's wrong. You know, you got to be more even with it. But I totally get his point, which the fear for me became, what is that going to do? On the news today, they mentioned we're going to be in a split America again, and I think we're headed that way, because you still only have 50 plus, maybe 60% of people vaccinated, mm-hmm. and there is a backlash against people who are choosing not to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And so for instance,
like the Foo Fighters with their concert in Times Square or wherever it was,
Madison Square,
like only vaccinated people were allowed in. Like that's
crazy.
That's not fair.
I know. See, that's the thing. You're dividing the country based on this, and I know at the heart of it, it's all people on both sides trying to, you know, do what they think is best for the country and for not being closed down again for a pandemic. So I do understand that. But I think we're really going to walk this crazy line here. If things start going back up again and the government gets more restrictive, it's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to be told what to do. We've talked about this before on the show. Like if you're a person that believes in pro-choice when it comes to a woman's body and abortion, then you have to be pro-choice for the vaccination. Mm-hmm. You have no choice but to be.
Right.
Just like if you're pro-life, you kind of have to be pro-life for not killing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just babies. And so I really do. I'm cautious about the fact that we're going to get to a point where it will be like a dystopian movie where the haves that have the vaccine will then turn on the not haves, and it can be an ugly class war in essence, you know. Mm-hmm. And I fear that we might get to that point if we have another resurgence.
But I also don't want like another situation where the CDC lady gets on there and she says, I fear that our world is going to collapse and go down in a fiery furnace. So I don't want you to be coming across like that.
Right.
Because you're saying, I fear that that's where we're going to head. The thing is that may not be the case.
Yeah.
That's just one person's thoughts on it.
But I'm usually right with most everything I say. Most. My batting average is pretty good on this. I think I'm right.
And you could be. I'm just saying, I don't know. What can we do about it right now?
Panic. Fight. No. Well, you ask what we can do about it right now. That's an interesting thing, because like in talking about the vaccine with my wife, for me personally, I'm like, okay, now am I going to just set aside what I believe? Like, I can't stand the misinformation. I don't trust, you know, the people that are giving me the information. I think there's agendas. I think it's political. And so do I set all of that aside and get the vaccine because it's easier? See, that's the thing. If you're going to make life easier and more normal for the select group of people who chose to get the vaccine, and you're going to make it harder on people that have chosen not to, then that's where, like, getting the vaccine at that point just to make it easier is wrong, you know, or getting the vaccine even just to go travel so I can go travel. Like, I told my wife, I said, I think that's crazy too, you know, because then all of a sudden you're in essence, someone is buying your ethics or your fear, you know, and stuff like that. And so, and again, you have to give everybody space in your business relationships, your friend group, your spouses to process this and do what they feel is best for them. And that's what I'm totally doing with her. But I could see the point where if they made it difficult, because I don't have a fear that I'm going to get cancer from it, you know, I could see if they made it difficult enough, me going, fine, I don't care. But I'm not, I hate being that person that just steps in line and gives up what I believe is not accurate or right just to fall in line just because it's easy.
But also not to fall in that line of being stubborn and not getting it just because you're being told you should get it.
Sure, I have a problem with that. And I do understand that. Like, yeah. I do understand that I'm wired that way. I'm very counterculture. I've always been wired that way. But part of what my hesitancy on it is based in the political nature of it and the misinformation that has been rampant on both sides, you know, and things that I think have been handled, and I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but things that I think have been handled to further an agenda at the cost of what could be people eventually, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's get off of this. I apologize. I digress. Let's get to some goodness in the form of least of these.
We're going back to the Tokyo Olympics.
Oh, what? Really? So we're gonna... How's that possible?
Circle on back.
I didn't even know that. Bah, bah, bah. We've come full circle.
We're going to hear a new anthem.
Oh.
And it's by the Jonas Brothers.
Is that necessary?
It's called Remember This.
Oh, no.
Used to pray for a moment just like this. There's a fire in your eyes, I can't resist. Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. I can taste it forever on your lips. There's a lifetime living inside that kiss. Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. Life moves really fast.
So this is a... That was an anthem for the Olympics?
Well, for something else, but the Olympics are taking it on as their...
Yeah, that was objectively not a great Jonas Brothers song.
Yeah, and they
tell me what is a good one.
I like a lot of their music personally.
Okay,
hop back to 20. 15,
you know what, Rock? Just
ago.
Like COVID, we got to give them the space. We got to give them grace.
You're right.
Oh, I was done. Okay. I don't have enough crazy.
What was
emotional.
That one song? I'm a sucker for you.
Oh, I like. That.
I didn't hate that one. Yeah, I did not hate
but,
that.
But
one.
Go back to was it Burning Up? Is a great song. The year,
the year 2000,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like those are good songs.
The young poppy Jonas Brothers.
This one
feels
a little like
this one. I'm not sure where I stand on this. Which is worse? Like, A, if this was written for the Tokyo Olympics, a horrible anthem. B, if it's not written for them, then it's just a horrible song.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you like it, Rock?
I don't hate it.
Really?
But I don't love it either.
Yeah. It's a lifetime on my lips, something about a kiss. So you know it wasn't written for this. It's just something that they're taking and using because of the whole, I want to remember this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I'm curious. I'm sure they're happy about it, though. Like if you're,
oh, yeah,
if
that's
you're
a big deal.
Artist and somebody starts using your music for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to see when Christian artists would get into TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest Loser was one that used to play a lot of Christian artist stuff. Because Christian music's inspirational, by nature. And so there's a lot of that kept getting in there.
I've heard a lot of For King and Country.
Yeah.
They used a lot of sports related things, used Skillet's Hero.
Oh, yeah.
And I see NF in a lot of things too. It was in a recent trailer for a Marvel movie that they used an NF song. So.
He's on ESPN for stuff too. And so, gotta make it to make it. I gotta make it to make it. That's NF.
It's all good stuff.
Well, there you go. All right, well, let's end this with some Joe Bro one more time because I want to remember this.
Used to pray for a moment just like this. Yeah. There's a fire in your eyes, I can't resist. Woo! Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. Baby, we're gonna wanna remember this. I could be a
sing it, Joe.
You never believe this if you could. Oh, that's bad. All right, that's gonna do it for your
you don't
Africa.
You wanna do birthdays?
Oh,
ooh, he tried to jump out.
Love to.
It's going to be funny when she says there aren't any.
She's going to be like, there aren't any.
No, there are.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do it.
Honor those people.
But you said you wanted to end with the jokes.
No. I want to give the people what they come here for.
Kaya wants to wish her sister Erica a happy birthday, saying she's an awesome chemistry teacher. Happy birthday, Erica. And then it looks like Erica wanted to get herself in as well. So faithful potty who listens to the podcast while working out.
Just she's just covering her bases and going on the off chance that her family doesn't care.
But
I love
they
that.
Did care.
I know.
Good.
See?
Lindsay wants to wish her sister Erin a happy birthday. Is celebrating another decade of being 30. She is a loving and caring person, a longtime potty, loves the show, and says that Betty is her spirit animal.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then it says, Lordy, Lordy, Erin's 40.
That's good.
And then Abigail wants to wish her younger brother Azaria a happy birthday. He is the comedian of the family and super fun to be around. And then Liz, her birthday was on the 18th. So happy belated birthday, Liz. Said I'm late in giving myself a birthday shout out. Give me a break. Quarantine life is hard.
That's bad when you're late for your own birthday shout out. That's bad enough when it's other people, but then you just really don't care. But we got you in.
Her question is, you're stuck in an elevator for 6 hours. With a specific Enneagram type, which one would you want it to be?
Who could I control the most? It's an 8.
What are you going to control people for in an elevator?
Because like, if
good
I don't,
question,
what,
Gavin.
What's that going to achieve
question.
For you?
Well, A, you know I'm an 8 because that's my first instinct is to control the
yeah.
room. B is like I don't want to be stuck with somebody that's going to talk to me the whole time or be like aww. Overly positive about the situation. That's not what I need.
So you don't want a 7.
I do not want a 7. 7 would be the worst to be stuck in with. A perfectionist is a 1. No. A 2
is a helper.
Yeah, so they might be beneficial.
But they also like to talk, I think.
Yeah.
3 is a charmer.
I think I'd want to be with a 5. A 5 wants to help you solve the problem and get it fixed and get out of there. And they don't want to talk any more than you do. So I think I would pick a 5.
Yeah, I definitely would not want to be in with a 6 because they're fear-based.
Yeah, oh, that's true, yeah.
They're like anxious and...
Yeah. I think I'm a 6 though.
Yeah,
I think
so
you are.
No, this is why we don't ever get in the elevator with you, Gavin.
I couldn't do that. Yeah. I couldn't deal with that.
When we travel, we're like, go ahead, I dropped something, I'll catch up to you.
I wouldn't want to be stuck with an 8, that's for sure. Mm. for no reason at all.
No, I hope specific. I hope you know what? I'm changing my prayer for you because I pray for you all the time about your relationship situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pray that you that God's man for you is an 8.
Oh gosh, I'd rather stay single.
That is my new prayer for you.
That's funny.
Oh, bring her an 8.
I think I would go with a 5 as well because they might know some facts. And who's to say? We don't know. It doesn't say they're going to help us get out of the elevator. It's just saying that we're going to be stuck with them for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So do you still want a 5
yeah.
even when
because I would
you can't
rather,
get out?
I would rather spend 6 hours trying to solve the problem, even unsuccessfully, than to sit there and talk about my feelings, about how I feel about this problem. Absolutely. Like, I'm the person that...
You don't want a 4, then.
No! Worst thing ever. No.
And how you don't want a 9 like me. I'd be a sloth. I'd be like, well... Just wait 6 hours.
Yeah.
Let's take a nap.
Yeah, let's just. I'm just gonna sleep here. Okay. We've already established a pee corner. We're fine. I would. Yeah. Because like I'm the person that if there is traffic, I want to get out of the traffic. Even if it takes me longer, but I'm on roads that are moving, I will pick that versus it could even take me half an hour longer as long as I'm moving. But sitting still somewhere drives me insane. And so
it's just you and your thoughts.
Yeah, and it's just me getting frustrated at the world for not working the way it should, you know. And so being in that elevator.
How dare you?
Yeah, and so I would have to be able to be troubleshooting and have somebody troubleshooting with me.
Hmm.
Like pulling their weight. Because if they just expected me to do it, then well, I guess I could do that too.
Said like a classic 8.
Yeah, because then it'd be fine because then it's my way.
Oh my gosh. What about another 8?
You and another 8.
Well, only one of you is coming out of that thing alive, so it's okay.
It was 6 hours to survive.
No, that's the thing. Like 8s, I know we're getting real deep Enneagram here. 8s don't always have to be in the lead if another 8 or somebody else is better at it. 8s will take the back seat.
But will they admit that someone
yeah.
is better?
For example, like Greg, like my buddy, when we go ride, we'll go ride new places, and he maps everything out. He's very analytical, and he is like Rand McNally. He follows maps and stuff. I always let him go first because he'll figure out where we're at in the middle of the woods. I have no idea. No clue where we are. And so I don't pretend to because I would just get us loster.
I'm loster.
I can take a back seat. All that is for me to take a back seat is you got to know more than me about whatever it is that we're talking about. And I'm fine with that.
Hmm.
Even in this job. If somebody knows more than me in this job, then I will listen to you. And I will take your notes. If you don't, then no, I'm not going to listen. I mean, it's very simple.
Gavin, what about you?
Oh, I probably would choose 9.
A 9?
Because Haley's a 9.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I think, in essence, I would be okay with a situation where we're stuck in the elevator and we're like, okay, cool. We don't need to talk to each other for the whole 6 hours.
Sure.
Like, there's not this expectation to do that. And so just knowing that a part of Haley's personality is that, like, we're both good with being in that same place and just not having to talk. Like, you can
right.
talk, or you could pop something on YouTube on your phone or just chill. I wouldn't treat that 6 hours like, oh my gosh, we got to get out of here.
No, I would. Every second of that would be like, I'd be even sizing that person up going, if it goes really south, can I eat them?
Can I make a makeshift grill in this oven?
Wow.
I should have never seen that movie alive all those years ago about that Chilean soccer team. That ruined me. That one movie ruined me because then it makes me size up every survival situation based on that fact alone.
Wow.
We should have stopped before birthdays right now, right?
Probably. Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for your
take us
really
out with Jonas Brothers.
Oh. And thank you for being a body. Used to pray for a moment just like this. There's a fire in your eyes. Ending. Can't resist. Baby, we're going to want to remember this. Baby, we're going to want to remember this.